Welcome to episode 163 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Superior Spider-Man, My Own Worst Enemy by Dan Slott. And now, the cast begins.
Sounds pretty good.
So I'll have to be louder.
Just yell.
All right.
Yeah.
did you choose a word for this week?
I think there's a pretty obvious one.
Is it spidery?
God damn it, Jen, you took my joke.
That's exactly Sorry.
What I was going to fucking say with spider.
I was going to suggest swinging.
Swinging? Oh, I like that one. Okay.
Or you could go right on the nose and say superior.
No, I got a good one. You guys ready for this? You want to just fucking get into it?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another slotted episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
Jen.
Hey.
And this week, we read Superior Spider-Man, My Own Worst Enemy by Dan Slott. Look at Slotty!
See what you did there.
With art by Ryan Stegman, collects issues 1-5 of Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah,
so good. So this is on our list of best of for 2013, and it's kind of surprising that this is on the best of 2013 because when this came out back in, I think it came out back in March or February. I think yeah, March. And when it came out back in March, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be on the best of 2013 list because the premise for it. When Marvel announced it, the premise was, all right, Doc Ock is going to take over Peter Parker's brain, and Spider-Man will now actually be Dr. Octopus's mind, and there's going to be like a Jedi spirit Peter Parker, and all this, that, and the other thing. And the whole fan community just went, what the fuck? This is fucking stupid. And when you look at it, it is kind of a dumb idea, right? Except at the end of the year, like 9 months later now, this is on a lot of best of 2013 lists, the Superior Spider-Man book.
Well, I think the knee-jerk reaction from the community maybe was twofold. I mean, first of all, Marvel had killed Peter Parker in
Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, in the Ultimate Spider-Man, and replaced him with Miles Morales.
Oh yeah,
which
that's
is right. I don't think that was a bad call, but then this, they're essentially also killing Peter Parker here, so it's kind of strange that, you know, they would kill Peter Parker. I mean, he's such a whatchamacallit,
he's such an icon. It's like like killing Bruce Wayne, except they tried to do that.
It'd be
like killing Captain America.
Before we got the current, like, they did kill Captain America.
I know.
But he didn't actually die.
I'm trying to come up with a good example of an iconic character that hasn't died.
Well, like, Spider-Man...
Clark Kent has died, too.
Before the current round of Marvel movies, like, starting from Iron Man, I'd say Spider-Man was the face of Marvel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter Parker is... There's more to Spider-Man than just the character of Spider-Man. I mean, Peter Parker is a huge part of that. And his supporting cast of characters. I mean, he's been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
And basically Marvel killed him, right?
Yeah.
And Peter Parker...
They put Peter Parker's mind into Dr. Octopus, and then Dr. Octopus got murdered.
Yeah. I don't know if he got murdered. I think he just died.
Oh, he just died? Okay. He got murdered by age.
Yeah. Time. Fucking time.
Time
Wait,
is
did
the
he
fire
really just die of old age?
I think he was sick because I remember I didn't read Amazing Spider-Man 698-700. Those were the lead into this before it switched over to Superior Spider-Man. But I remember an issue of Iron Man from a couple years ago that had Dr. Octopus in it, and he was like paralyzed, like he could talk, but his like arms were basically how he got around, you know, the octopus harness arms. He was dying. I think he tried to do something similar with Tony Stark, but
that would have been a much better swap for him. To hop into Tony Stark.
I kind of feel like it could be very, like, good press and sensational to replace your flagship character with, like, one of his villains. But I don't know, like, the whole thing of this didn't actually come off to me because the suspension of disbelief for this was so intense that I had a lot of trouble believing that this was a plausible situation that wouldn't be resolved in, like, 3 issues. Right? Because, seriously, nobody noticed how strange Peter Parker was acting relative to how strange Peter Parker normally acts. I think that's... I don't know. I think it... That's where it's hard to pull this off, and that's part of the thing where you get that, you know, pushback, because fans say, well, Peter Parker is a very established character. Like, we know him as being filled with bad puns, and he kind of has a lot of loyalty and a good sense of humor.
Invented witty banter.
Yeah, and he also, he just has, like, some really strong character traits. Like, he is really big in, like, in terms of his love life in the comic.
Yeah.
I mean, for some heroes, it doesn't feature as much. For Peter Parker, it's a huge thing. One of the defining moments in Spider-Man as a whole was, like, the death of Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, it's just when you replace such an iconic character, you have to take a lot of steps to ensure that it works. And I feel like taking Doc Ock here, it was too far of a stretch. So I really do understand the pushback from the fan base here.
See, you know, I get that. But then as I read this, I realized I only recognize a single person in Spider-Man's supporting cast. The only person this entire book that I recognize is Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Right?
And J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, J. Jonah. But, I mean, he didn't change. And the way he interacts with this Peter Parker, with Superior Spider-Man, like, I buy it. Like, I mean, J. Jonah was around, but J. Jonah never really knew Spider-Man. He had this mind concept of what he believed Spider-Man was, and that was true. And he's never, like, he's familiar with that mind concept, and that's it.
Yeah, it's not like they were close, but I find it really upsetting that, for instance, Aunt May wouldn't pick up on it at all. Or Mary Jane.
Okay, but... All right, but Aunt May is a bad judge of character. She did have Venom helping her do her laundry.
Okay,
she also
that's
wanted
true.
To marry Dr. Octopus and the Vulture at different points.
That's
so.
True. So not a good judge of character.
Not to mention what Peter is doing. What Otto is doing with Aunt May is the kind of thing Aunt May wanted Peter to do anyway. So he may be acting out of character.
But he's playing into her desires.
Yeah, there's confirmation bias.
She's getting what she wants from him.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Maybe
that makes it harder for her to recognize that something is amiss.
Yeah.
Makes it harder for that just leaves Mary Jane, right? And Is this the part of continuity where everybody forgot that they had a relationship?
Not a relationship, but they were married, I think, is what they had the... No, because...
Wait, what?
I don't know the Spider-Man. Really? I don't know the Spider-Man mythos that well, but there was something where they basically had to do a retcon. It was like a Marvel editorial decision that they wanted to get retcon the marriage of Peter and Mary Jane out of comics. So, and I might be off a little bit, but I'm fairly sure that I believe in order to save Aunt May's life, Peter sold his wedding, his marriage.
Yes.
To Mephisto.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that sounds correct.
He did, and I guess the question is where in continuity or relative to that does this take place, because obviously he and Mary Jane, like, I think she says I'm getting back with Peter, so they were obviously dating at
they
some
had
point.
Been dating and they had broken
I think
up. But I think
In this continuity, they weren't married after the whole Mephisto.
No, the
thing
marriage
though,
never
right?
happened in this continuity.
Yeah, yeah.
But their past didn't go away.
And this is why we get the New 52, because this is confusing us. But you're right, their past didn't go away. They still had dated. They still had that connection between each other. They were still the people that they were. But I'm just trying to make the point that in terms of MJ being able to notice a change in Peter, they weren't married. They didn't have all of the time in continuity that they had been married, that she could have gotten to know him that little bit better, is obliterated in her memory and in everyone else's. So, like, I'll give her a little bit of leeway because they were never married. Sure, they were together, but then this. And on top of it, what we first get is Peter saying, I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to be a better Spider-Man, and I'm trying to be a better Peter. Which, if you say it is one thing, but then MJ talking to Peter and interacting with Peter slowly realizes in her own mind he is trying to be different. And so after that, it's all just confirmation bias. Oh, yeah, 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 this is Peter being different. This is Peter trying to change. This is Peter... Or this is Spider-Man trying to be a better Spider-Man. This is Peter trying to be a better Peter. Like, I think it all just comes down to confirmation bias at that point.
Maybe, but okay. So, Mary Jane first came into the comics in 1965. She and Peter dated on and off until 1987 when they got married. Even if this marriage was erased, if you were with someone for 20-odd years, you would fucking know if they were replaced
yeah,
with
yeah,
Doc Ock.
But Peter's not 70 years old. Come on.
I know. It's just so... Okay, I think if I had dated someone for a month and they started acting that differently, I would notice. And I know Mary Jane's supposed to be, like, more self-absorbed, party girl, whatever, but, like, she has a connection to Peter. Peter's all like, oh, we're soulmates.
See, but you would notice, and you would say, this fucking creep changing all up on me, I'm gonna fucking dump him, and then you're done, right? Or just be like...
If you're soulmates, shouldn't you notice that
she
your
does,
loved one
say?
Was replaced by Dr. Octopus? Like, I cannot wrap my mind around this. I cannot.
I think the other smart thing that this comic does is give Doc Ock all of Peter's memories. So if Superior Peter is acting out so far outside of what normal Peter would have been, can we say Superior and Amazing Peter?
Sure.
If Superior Peter is acting so far out of line from what Amazing Peter would have done, then Superior would know it, and Superior would rein it back in a bit. I think he gets carried away occasionally, like when he's in the lab and he invents something and says, all of you will now bow to the might of Dr. Parker. And they're all like, bro, you don't have a doctorate. Like, those moments, he'll get wrapped up in it again. But other than that, he knows when he's getting too far away. And so I think that's part of his devious mind.
It's not like he's wearing Peter's skin, right? He has access to Peter's memories. So he can remember how he's supposed to act, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in a completely... I mean, it's like he is playing a part, right? And he has a script and all, like, he has his, understands his motivation, and he's trying to be Peter Parker. He's not trying to be Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
He's trying to be Peter with a little bit of Doc Ock peppered into it.
It's just, he talks totally differently, and she notices, and she never says anything.
Isn't their second date, like, ballroom dancing with a bunch of old people in the room?
Yes.
but he sounds the same, and I don't... But remember, he's trying to get back together with her, right?
Yeah.
So maybe she rationalizes as he's trying to do something new so they can get back together again, you know?
See, that's what I'm saying. It's all just confirmation bias. He's just like, I'm trying to change, and part of that change is us getting back together. What do you say, sugar lumps?
I guess. It's just like every single freaking person, like, and he's clearly talking and acting differently.
Yeah.
And no one says, like, that's odd, except for Carly, because she's the detective.
Right, because she's the smart one. I like Carly a lot.
She seems cool.
She's gonna die.
Really? You think?
I hope not.
Die.
I think that's when Superior Peter will really be tested. That's when Doc Ock will really be tested, is when she finds him out or comes close to finding him out. What does he do? And I really want to see what happens in that moment. Because in this comic, I can't say if he comes out even on a morality ledger, right? If he's good or bad. I can't say that he's struck even on that ledger, because he's done a lot of bad stuff in Peter's body in just these first 5 issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this comic got really, really fucking creepy for me when he was like, you know what? I don't even need to date Mary Jane. I got years and years of memories of what it's like to be with her body.
You.
Oh, God. And it's like, because at that point, he is... Because you know what he does with those memories. It's not... I mean, there's never even innuendo in that direction. But you know, after he gets rejected, he goes home and he does things with those memories.
I did not...
You didn't build that correlation?
No, I didn't, go home and think, really? Man, Peter must be fapping to himself.
That's exactly what
I thought that, because Peter kept being like, stop touching my body.
Yes.
No, that's no.
When he's showering.
He said that when he's showering.
Still,
That shower happened after.
Yeah, I feel like he was really disturbed after that. But no, it did get that sense. And, you know, I will give them kudos, because I totally thought it was going in the direction of... he would end up getting back with Mary Jane and they'd be like making out or whatever, and she wouldn't know. And that's just so unethical. And I know Doc Ock is a villain, but man. So I'm glad they didn't do that.
I don't know. I feel like this is more unethical, because I think here he's raping two people.
He's not raping her, though. That's not the right word.
No, not raping, but like, it's... He's... I don't know.
He's violating her privacy.
Whose privacy? Mary Jane's?
Both of theirs.
In what way?
Well, Dr. Octopus is not meant to know what it's like to have sex with Mary Jane.
Yeah.
That is
she
not...
wouldn't. She but wouldn't she... want him to know that. It's almost like he hacked into Peter's computer and started looking at naked pics of her or something. Like, it's not meant for him.
Worse than that, because he has the entire sum of her memory. So not just knowing what she looks like naked, knowing what she feels like.
I think you guys are focusing too much on this.
Because it was seriously disturbing.
It's creepy. I think he's meant to be creepy like this. Like, but it's weird, because I didn't think that... It makes him seem very inept. And... Dr. Octopus was, like, an adult when Peter was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like it's strange that he's kind of this creepy, lecherous... I don't know, like...
But he seems
naive.
No, he's not hip on what the kids do these days.
But is he still an old man now that he's in Peter's body?
Yeah, what age is his mind at? I think his age... It's tough, because the things that he takes Mary Jane to do when he's trying to date her are old people things to go do.
Ice skating is not an old person thing to do.
Right, but like, ice skating and like the ballroom dancing. And the ballroom dancing sticks out in my mind, not just because it's ballroom dancing, but because the frame is filled with other people who all have gray hair. Right, and there's this kind of implication that he doesn't really know what she likes to do, because also when they go to her club... She's down there dancing, and he's up there brooding. Right? And he's like, oh, yeah, whatever.
He does know what she likes to do, because he knows everything Peter knows.
But he doesn't want to do it, because he's a fucking old man.
Because he thinks he's trying to be a different... He's not trying to be Peter Parker. He's not trying to be the same Peter Parker that's the Jedi Ghost, you know? He's trying to be his own Peter Parker and his own Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So why, if Dr. Octopus was inside Peter Parker's mind and did everything the exact same way as Peter Parker, except he had a different internal monologue, that would be even worse. That would be completely stupid.
Yeah, no, that would be
bad. Yeah, yeah.
That will be the dumbest thing ever. They're like, look at what we're gonna, brand new Spider-Man. Status quo is never the same. Except the only place that status quo changes is in the fucking narrator squares. That would be the worst comic ever.
That would be. What I'm saying is maybe this is Dr. Octopus's conscience sabotaging himself. Because, like you say, he has access to Peter's memory. He knows the things he can do. He has to know the things that he can do and the things that he can say to make Mary get back with him. He knows where Peter screwed up. He knows how we'd have to get... Like, whatever reason, Peter didn't get back with Mary Jane, right? Because there was some hang-up that he had, because there was some hump he couldn't get over, because there was this thing he wouldn't do. All of those are just hang-ups that Peter had. That Doc Ock doesn't have, right? So Dr. Octopus could say, okay, I know exactly what to say I'm sorry for, I know exactly what to do to make her forgive me, and I know exactly what kind of flower to give her to make it wonderful, right? I can hit all three of these points, bam, first date, I'm in, right? But he doesn't do that. So I think...
That would be Otto Octavius being Peter Parker.
No, because Peter Parker would still have those humps. Peter Parker still wouldn't say sorry for this thing. Still wouldn't, because he wouldn't feel sorry.
But see, here's the thing, right? Peter Parker, Amazing Spider-Man Peter Parker, could also look in his memories and say, look at these things that I did that didn't work out. Let me try something different.
Right, but...
Peter and Otto know the same things.
What I'm saying is Peter could look back... Amazing Peter could look back in his own memory and say... I don't know why they broke up. Say Mary Jane cheated on him, right? Use that as an example. Amazing Peter could go back and say, I know I could forgive her for cheating on me, but fuck that bitch. We're staying broken up, right? Otto could go back and say, they broke up because she cheated on him. Oh, I don't give a shit about that. I'm going to forgive her tonight. Right? And, like, Amazing Peter could do that to maybe get the relationship back together, but he won't. And I think because Otto doesn't do those things either, because Otto in this comic doesn't do the things that he knows would work, because he doesn't do them, he's maybe self-sabotaging. And it's not the only instance where he does it. He self-sabotages
Why is it self-sabotaging for him to see he?
Because he knows it's wrong.
It's wrong to date to be Peter Parker and date Mary Jane.
To take advantage of her. To take advantage of the fact that he looks like Peter Parker.
He broke up with her because...
He's not trying to be Otto Octavius. He's trying to be Peter Parker.
He's trying to be a good person, and he's trying to fit into
the same role that Peter was in, but to do that same role better. Right?
And I think that's an actual really good point of argument, because that's where he... realizes, like with Mary Jane, that he's harming her by staying with her. Potentially he brings danger to her, and you know, she might like that, but it's a contradiction that he can't live with, and he doesn't want to put her in danger. And I think it's a little clunky, because there's a lot of focus on him trying to date her, but then the payoff at the end is actually pretty good, where he says, like,
when he realizes
I'm going to do this thing that Peter couldn't. And then even Peter acknowledges that. And I think that's good character development for Otto. Because we see what sort of person he's trying to be. And saying, like, here's this thing that I really thought I wanted, but it's better for everybody if I just don't.
Way to resolve that argument like nothing.
I think it's creepy that he inserted himself into the memories and replace Peter. I will agree with you himself to that point. Yes. He inserted himself into memories of inserting himself.
Okay.
But anyways.
I couldn't help it.
No, it's fine. I agree that that's creepy, but I don't think... See, I just... Like, you used the word memory rape. But I don't think that's... I don't know. It's That doesn't seem, because it's just, it's like Otto's just fantasizing, right, in his own mind. And people fantasize about having sex with other people in their own mind, but nobody calls it mind rape.
Right, but there's a difference between fantasizing and actually knowing.
But they're his memories now.
Kinda.
He's Peter Parker now. No, no, he is Peter Parker now. There is no Peter Parker.
So
there's Jedi spirit. Okay.
But no, it's not the same because he doesn't interact with Otto on a conscious level.
Okay. Well, I guess it feels creepy to me because I for a split second I thought about it from Peter's point of view. Imagine somebody invades my brain and takes over and more or less switches me out completely. The guy in my head does not know that I am there, has no clue, right? And then that guy delves into my memories of what it's like to be with my wife. Ugh, fuck that guy. Right? Like, there's something fundamentally that makes me really pissed off at that idea and really creeped out that it could happen.
The real question, is, aside from the fact that Otto killed Peter, which we know was not a good move, like, that's not a nice person thing to do. How immoral is it, then, what he's done to Peter? Like, this taking over of his life. Because it seems pretty shitty from Peter's point of view.
Yeah.
But of course it does. Peter's, well, yeah. He's dead.
He's
right?
Dead. Spirit Peter.
But he's not more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
That yeah.
Doesn't mean anything, okay? He is more powerful than Obi-Wan was after Obi-Wan died.
I don't think so.
How did Obi-Wan get more powerful? I still have never understood that.
It's the Force, Andy. God.
No, he's stupid and he's a delirious old man who's afraid of death at that point.
He basically kept Luke on the path. And he didn't have to fly in spaceships or anything anymore, so that's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And, maybe he got space sick.
But you know, better. I will say I think I did like Jedi Spirit Peter better than I like Jedi Spirit Obi-Wan, because Jedi Spirit Peter went around saying like, oh, wonder if I can ghost vomit.
So yeah, he had some good one-liners, but I'm gonna have to disagree with you there and say that I found him to be quite annoying.
Really?
I did not. That was, I think, Ghost Peter was probably my least favorite part of this comic.
What annoyed you about him?
I don't know. He just, it's like I wanted to read this because it's about Otto Octavius being Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
And he is, and the ghost Peter, I feel like, was, he took away from that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like early on, who is Superior beating up to a pulp? He's like beating somebody up in the first issue, almost to the point of death, and
I
then
think it's
Jedi
boomerang.
Spirit
boomerang.
Yeah, and then Jedi Spirit Peter grabs his hand. Jedi Spirit Peter grabs Superior Spider-Man's hand and makes him stop throwing punches. And afterwards, Superior Spider-Man's like, I don't know why the fuck I stopped. What the hell, man? So yeah, he does step in and stop Otto from being Otto.
No, I'm not saying that is a bad thing necessarily, but I don't know. He just felt like an unnecessary. It's like I was watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, kind of.
I agree with David on this one because it felt like Peter's one-liners were kind of out of Mean Girls or something. They felt very, I don't know, like sarcastic teenage girl more than witty Peter Parker. Maybe that's just my take, but I also feel like it messed with the tone of the comic because I don't think this should have been like grimdark or anything, but it felt more serious than a lot of Spider-Man that I've read before. And I think having Peter there standing there joking about Otto's experiences the whole time detracted from the seriousness of Otto's situation. Because, I mean, it's just, he's experiencing all these new things and coping with emotions that he hasn't before. while trying to do things that are clearly against his nature, and to have someone like throwing one-liners behind him just seemed a little odd.
Not to mention the fact that I feel like Peter did not fully grasp the gravity of his own situation. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's dead. He's a disembodied spirit. Well, he's not really disembodied because he's trapped inside the subconscious or wherever he is actually trapped. And he's cracking jokes. I feel like he would be more concerned with getting himself out of that situation. And he doesn't seem all that worried.
Yeah, he's not even, like, trying to take control of the body back.
He's more like a Jiminy Cricket, you know? He's, like... he's, like, trying to... He's helping Peter... Or he's helping new Peter, like, try to be a better Peter. To do more Spider-Man-ish things.
Yeah, you know, and I was about to jump to his defense and say, the one thing that Ghost Peter does that I appreciate is... when Ghost Peter admits that Superior Spider-Man is doing something better. Like, oh. Like, when he goes, oh, why didn't I think of it? That's actually a pretty good idea. Yeah. Like, there's a couple moments, more than once in this comic, when he says that. And I was about to jump to his defense and say that I like that, except I feel like it would have been more satisfying to hear that from another character. Like, when he goes to MJ and says, I can't be with you because it doesn't make sense, because it's a conundrum that doesn't end, and I cannot be in a relationship with you. It will never work the way it's supposed to. And Mary Jane admits the clarity of the thought that Peter had right there. Like, Mary Jane comes out and says it, and that's a good moment. And then Peter says it. Jedi Spirit Peter says it, and I'm just like, yeah, I got it the first two times. Like, yeah, he did that better than you. Okay. It's more tangibly better, not because Jedi Spirit Peter admits that it's better, but because the active results of the different actions make
so
it.
As we've been talking about Ghost Peter, I've been trying to think of what value he adds to this comic. Like, why is he in the comic, right? And I think on a certain level, he's there to as kind of he's there as a nod to the old comic, right? The previous issues.
You can't completely wipe out Peter,
right? But I think. He's so. I feel like, you know, I'd read articles and stuff about this comic before, and before reading it, and I didn't realize from those articles how prevalent he is in this comic. And I was trying to think, okay, so what's the value that he brings to it? And I think maybe he's there to like hold the hand of the reader and say, this is okay. Now you're supposed to like Dr. Octopus. Okay, now you're not supposed to like what he's doing. He's being a bad guy now. Okay, now he's doing something good. Now he's doing it better than the old Peter. And so it's like a little guideposts. And
it's Clippy.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It jumps in at bad times because. I don't know. He's not part of the resolution of the plot.
Yeah.
He's his own plot.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point about him just being there to hold the hand of the reader. And not only just to do the, this is where you get upset, this is where you're that, not just to be the big applause light, but he's also there to hold the reader in the sense that, don't worry, it's okay. Peter's not dead. He's not really all the way gone. It's okay. He might come back.
We'll always like have him in our hearts.
Yeah, that kind of there's Peter Parker's not really dead. He's not completely wiped out of all existence. There is some form of Peter Parker that has consciousness somewhere.
He's only mostly dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Jen.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was going to say, so we've talked a lot about about old Peter, what he brings to the table, and a little bit about Otto being creepy. But, I mean, how do we think Otto is doing a good job at being Spider-Man? I mean, if we completely stick to Peter Parker, the old Peter's perspective, he's not doing a good job. But I think, I mean, obviously Peter is biased.
See, and I think this is where it gets interesting for me. Superior Spider-Man is a superior Spider-Man. But Otto Octavius Parker is not a better man. Because Otto, over the course of these five issues, is consumed with his role as Spider-Man. Except when he wants to sleep with Mary Jane. Right? He does not have the balance between work and home. And I think that's something that he's bringing with him from his previous life.
But did Peter have that balance before?
Better than this, I feel. I don't know, like...
But Mary Jane, like, had expectations that he was going to get up and leave when they heard the sirens on their first lunch, right?
That's true.
So she wasn't... I mean, I would say that he did not have a good balance because... Or maybe you could say that he did, but it's not through anything that he did. It's because Mary Jane and the people in his life had come to accept it. And I would say that he maybe is doing a better job of balancing, doing a work-life balance, because he made time to go to Aunt May's physical therapy session. And she was surprised that he would come.
Surprised he was even there at all.
Yeah.
Huh. Good point.
Sorry, Andy, I don't mean to, like, smash
no.
your...
No, that's a good point. Because we see him spending a lot of time working on upgrading Spider-Man to become Superior Spider-Man. He spends a lot of time on it. And you're right, I think he is just being more efficient. He's thinking smarter. And you kind of get the sense that maybe Otto has been smarter than Spider-Man all along. Or at least he could have been smarter. He could have been better. He's certainly older, more experienced, and wiser.
But, I mean, they're also coming from a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
Like, Peter was just trying to be Peter. But Otto saw... He's bringing an outside perspective in. It's like, say, you have an employee and they do a, you know, a passable, mediocre job at their job. Yeah, and then they leave and somebody else comes in and they think, man, you know, I'm new at this job. I see places where I can improve. I'm going to knock it out of the park. And then they do that. That's what Otto Octavius is doing.
Good correlation.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like he got all the notes from the old person, like a script rewrite, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they got all the notes, and they can see, instead of having to look at everything from the big picture, because they already know the big picture, they can look at the details. And that's what Otto's doing.
Okay, but that's in terms of, like, an efficiency and, like, on Otto's spreadsheet of number of bad guys captured per not times gone on the patrol route. Like, by all the numbers, he's doing better.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree, yes.
But that's easy to notice. He is being a more efficient Spider-Man. But what about, like, on... This is where I think the comic gets really interesting to read. What about on the morality ledger? Because we're seeing somebody who was your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man slip into more of a... In the notes, I compare it to Batman, and I still think it's more like Batman. He's slipping further away from it, from being your friendly neighborhood. And there's a line when somebody says it. I think it's the other guy in the lab, right? It says, what?
Uatu?
Yeah, he says, what? I'm no big brother. I'm Spider-Man. Think of me as part of a friendly neighborhood watch. And even that is a different connotation, because it's one guy who is your neighborhood watch.
I think a good comparison, especially with Batman, is... when after Nightfall, where Azrael becomes Batman.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
Right, he's Batman, but he's the shiny, all-new, more violent Batman.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a subtle correlation either. I think that Dan Slott makes a couple correlations. I mean, there's the the byproduct, right? Like the criminals that are scared of him. You know, yeah. That's kind of Spider-Man never used to instill fear.
The spider signal.
Right, the spider signal is really overt. Even though I love Superior Spider-Man's reaction. They're like, oh, of course it was a test, Jonah.
Or now he's using gadgets even more. I mean, Peter Parker used gadgets before in the comics, but he I think Otto's taking it to the next level.
Yeah, and I think the best Batman correlation that got drawn in here was the facial recognition software that when he puts it in his lenses, and you get that moment where he says it can see everything.
Like in Dark Knight.
Yeah, and in Dark Knight, they turn on the cell phone radar thing, and he can see the entire city.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's almost a direct correlation of, I can see the entire city right now through these little drones that I have fucking everywhere. Like, that is maniacal levels of control. And that is not Spider-Man. And he might be more efficient, but whether or not this is morally better, that's fucking tough.
Yeah. Well, see, then you get into the discussion of, like, what's a hero? Because we all say, okay, Batman's an anti-hero, but we call him a superhero, right? And we are usually pretty comfortable with that term for him.
Yeah.
But then it's like, Peter Parker, or I guess Otto Octavius, does the same thing. And I think part of it is his level of detachment. Peter was obviously a very emotionally involved hero. For instance, the part where Otto swings by and sees someone getting mugged, Peter freaks out and he's like, shouldn't you go fix that? And Otto's like, no, there's triage to be done here, basically. And he prioritizes, whereas, you know, Peter kind of just reacts to things. And Batman's the same way. He has that kind of emotional detachment from his job as a hero, and it allows him to be more efficient, I think. He doesn't get really emotionally caught up in what's going on. So part of the question is, like, was the passion that Peter put into his work really part of what made him a good hero? Or can you take that away and still, like, is it better to be passionate and less effective, or to be, like, more dispassionate and separated from your work, but be more effective?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I really like this comic, because it takes this superheroic and gives it, it becomes a tangible representation of utilitarianism. Utilitarianism is the ethical idea. It's the do the thing that creates the most good for the most amount of people. Which seems really straightforward, and I think Otto's doing it. Otto is doing the thing that creates the most good for the most amount of people based on the power and experience that he has, right? Sounds great in the abstract, until you're that chick getting mugged that he passes over. Like, sounds good, until he's not your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's protecting the entire city with these drone things, and he's flying all over the fucking place, and you're not important enough for that hero anymore. And it's like, one of the things that makes a superhero so super heroic is that moment where they stop to do the little thing. And it always has been, right? You think about, like, Superman, when he gets the cat down out of the tree, right? Like, that's been a scene for Superman over and over and over when he does that, right? And it's like, there's this sort of feeling that if a hero gets detached from the people that they help, or from the people that they protect, then they stop becoming that protector and start becoming their overseer? That's not the right word. Overlord? No. I don't have the word, but they stop becoming a protector. Because they're not protecting you. They're creating a system of protection that theoretically helps everyone.
It's enforcement. Exactly. Of their own ethics.
Thank you. That's the word I didn't have.
Well, I mean, you kind of get that at the end where Otto says, like, I'm going to keep an eye on all of you, and it's my power and my responsibility. I mean, when Uncle Ben tells Peter that, there's kind of a cause-effect thing going. You get power, and then you have to be responsible. Whereas for Otto, it's kind of like he's just taking it all and grouping it in as one thing and not differentiating between the power and the responsibility. For Peter, they were really different things, and I think that's part of what made him a more moral character, because he understood that you can't just execute your responsibility through the use of power. It's more than that. For Otto, it's more like he feels that he has this duty, so he's just going to do things, and consequences be what they may, whatever.
Right. And speaking of executing, the slippery slope of utilitarianism for a superhero is that the greatest good for the greatest number of people means becoming a true vigilante and taking not just the apprehension of a criminal into your own hands, but taking the judgment of a criminal into your own hands. And that's what Otto does. Otto catches Massacre and then judges him.
So, should he have?
I don't know, because then you get into this, because that's when the correlation with Batman comes back up again, right? And like with Batman, it's always the question of, should he just kill the Joker already?
Well, so here's the thing with this situation with Otto and Massacre, right? Or Spider-Man and Massacre, however you want to see it. I think it's a matter of perspective, right? I mean, we can all agree that murdering somebody is repugnant, right?
Yes.
Nobody's going to disagree with that. except for all the people that he saved just now and all the people he potentially saved.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we live in a society where there is capital punishment, but it's even that is like
you got to do something real bad.
It's very questionable. So, but we would all agree that it's not up to a vigilante or a a person that doesn't have the right, I guess, qualifications.
It's up to a judge and a jury.
We have a system, right?
Yeah.
That determines this kind of thing. But here, I mean, Spider-Man makes an executive decision. And the people around him at that time, I mean, there's little sound bites on the next page. I mean, he yells out, "What should I do? Tell me." And it's like, probably a rhetorical question. But then someone in the crowd yells out, "Do it," right?
Yeah.
A bystander. And he kills him, and then we get the next page where a person, more than one person, is like
thank
maybe
you.
Thanking him, justifying what he did. I mean, even the mayor of the city says that he's a proud example, and he J. Jonah Jameson calls him a hero after he murders somebody. So was it the right thing to do? From a moral level, definitely not. From a societal level, as far as protecting people, I'm not saying being a hero, but protecting people, the greater citizenry, maybe? I don't know.
And I think part of the reason he kills Massacre could be because it's his responsibility. And Otto didn't know that when he started, quote-unquote, working the case. But Otto discovered it when the memory came up via Jedi Spirit Peter. The memory came up, and Jedi Spirit Peter realized, this is my fault. I'm the one who promised this wouldn't happen again. I'm the one who let him get in this situation. This is my fault. And so maybe, confronted with that level of responsibility, he decides to do this. Because Amazing Peter had time to sort of integrate the idea and had time to had built up the thought that he won't kill anybody, you know, and he'd built up that image of himself as a hero. But Otto's getting confronted with it immediately right now, and immediately the sense of responsibility for his actions in this role.
Yeah, because now all those things that Spider-Man did or didn't do are now things that Otto Octavius did or did not do, and so he sees it as his responsibility to rectify that mistake.
And it's not the kind of responsibility he'd ever considered before. There's no part in Otto's previous life that he's had to worry about the repercussions of his actions like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, his actions were always just, I'm going to go rob that bank so I can build a super weapon. Oh, no, I got thrown in jail. Oh, fuck balls. Right? Like, I'm just going to escape again next week. There weren't really that many repercussions for his actions. I mean, there's jail time. He gets beat up a bit. But he knows what's coming. Those repercussions aren't nearly as severe as the repercussions for when Spider-Man fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm writing it off for him, I think, because it's such a shock. It's got to be such a shock to a system to suddenly get hit with that out of nowhere. And I can understand why he would just say, fuck it, and just shoot the guy in the face.
So I have a Marvel Universe question, and it's, how much power does an Avenger have? Like, legally.
So it depends. Sometimes they are like agents of the government, but I don't think they have, I mean, they don't have a license to kill.
Yeah. You know? They're seen almost as like a wing of law enforcement in a certain way. Like if there's a group of cops around, an Avenger can swing down, flash their Avenger card, and the cops will go, oh, okay, here's the case. Like, kind of help explain it to them. But in return, they're supposed to play by the rules as well.
Okay.
And he's not playing by the rules here.
Yeah, I was just thinking if it had been, like, a cop or an FBI agent doing it, but then it occurred to me that that's not a problem when they're just neutralizing someone, but Otto already had Massacre on his knees in a position where he could have been arrested.
Right.
So this was more vengeance and also prevention, but...
Right. So, like you said, from Otto's perspective, that they had tried this solution already and it failed, so he decided to take another course of actions to neutralize this threat. So...
It's like...
See, and it's... I like this comic because there's all these layers in here. It's so nice. What did you guys think of the art in this one?
I thought it was pretty good. I didn't. If there was any part of the art that I didn't like, I don't know. I didn't really like Ghost Peter again. I don't mean to be picking on that, but I didn't really like it. And maybe it's a character design issue. I didn't like it that much. But the art was good. I think that this. These drawings of Spider-Man are really dynamic, and you know, it's cool, and the character designs are kind of fun. Like the Dean of Students on the first page of issue 2, she's pretty funny. She's like an Amanda Waller shaped character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like this version of Spider-Man costume too.
Yeah, the black and red. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Overall, I thought this was good.
I will say one flaw also had to do with Ghost Peter, and it was the lettering. I understand that it was supposed to be ghostly, but it was actually... I read it on the Marvel Unlimited digital platform on my monitor, and like it was just really hard to read, and there was a lot of like squinting and zooming, and it was not user-friendly. Maybe it was better in print, but... I mean, they publish at the same time digital. They should be aware of these things.
I read a trade, and you know, there were times when it was harder to read, but I didn't think I had the same amount of issues you guys had with it.
Yeah, I read it through the MDCU app on my Android tablet, and it was rough.
Oh, I'm flipping through. Usually you ask what if we had a favorite part, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was flipping through again, and I found, I think, I'll call this my favorite part. It's actually the part after where Vulture is blinded. That panel where Vulture's holding Spider-Man by the neck and they're falling into the spider signal, I just thought was a really cool, it's a really cool panel. Because it's, like, all washed out in the background because it's them... You know, it's the white light.
Yeah. That was pretty well done.
I just think it's a really nice panel.
We didn't even talk about the whole Vulture story in here either. Anyway. But, I mean, my favorite scene, it's a scene that's not related to the art at all, even though we're just talking about the art. It's the writing of it. When Otto loses it because he realizes that Vulture made him hit a kid.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, did I love that moment. Because then you get character building for Otto, and then you get the moral question when Otto almost puts Vulture in the fucking morgue, right? By crashing him into that light. And it's like, I understand where you're coming from, Otto. Buddy, I really do right there. let alone, I was not abused as a child, and I would not take well to being made to hit children. Otto, I can't even begin to understand where he comes from in that moment. Like, I cannot come close to understanding that kind of rage. But at the same time, because I don't understand, I don't know if it justifies what he does. Man, that was a really well-written turn, because it, boom, boom, it's one right after the other. But I think you're right, David. I think that scene is even brought up higher because the finale with Vulture is so epically mm-hmm. well drawn.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the art, I think I liked when, it's a stupid moment, but when Otto, what did he even build? And he called himself Dr. Parker. And you get that, like, mad scientist moment with his mad scientist coat, and he's got the goggles on. He's like, yeah, with his arms up in the air.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny one.
That was like, that's drawn just so, he, like, Jen, you were talking about, like, how do people not notice? How do you not look at him and say, evil genius? Look at him on that page. Evil genius.
He's all Dr. Horrible.
Yes. Like,
seriously.
And it's like, aside from the character and writing interactions of why don't you see this? That's a great art example of why don't you literally see this guy looks like an evil genius. Evil genius. Anyway, Jen, what about you? Did you have a favorite scene?
I did. And I'm actually a little torn on it because it has a part that I really love and a part that I really dislike, and it's the full page spread where Otto takes Mary Jane web swinging around the city.
Oh yeah.
And I really just like the art of him swinging around and she's hanging on and obviously having so much fun.
Her face is fucking great on that page.
Yeah, she's adorable.
She's like, yeah.
And I really like that. And then there's Ghost Peter in the background, and this time he's huge and he's like, no, Mary Jane. And I'm just like, go away, Ghost Peter. You're spoiling a really nice date.
even if there just weren't that word bubble there, that page would be brilliant.
Yeah. It looks like they're having so much fun. And it's a sweet moment. And that's really nice because it's juxtaposed with the fact that it's actually a really insidious moment. And he's being manipulative and evil about this. Because he's like, oh, I know what's going to get the girl.
Yeah, let's see. Like, I don't think I can see why you would say that it's insidious, but
okay, he's not evil.
He's not trying to do anything bad. He's trying to be in a relationship with this person, he's trying to do it by showing her a good time.
I think the difference we're having, David, is not an issue of whether or not it's morally right. It's an issue of what is his identity. Right,
but
because you keep saying he is Peter Parker and he's doing the things that Peter Parker would do, right? And mm-hmm. from that perspective, that's not wrong, right? Because mm-hmm. Peter, if Amazing Peter were in that body and Amazing Peter struck out on three dates, he would go home and spank one out, right? Right, like that's Peter. Peter would do that, but if that's not Peter. And that's somebody, I think as you phrased it earlier, if that's Otto in Peter's skin, then that is insidious. Because that's no different than if Otto developed some mysterious hologram thing around him.
Mm-hmm.
And just went off and did this stuff with Mary Jane after stealing some of Peter's memories. Right? We'll build some more elaborate thing around this. Right? Like, then that is straight up, that's wrong. And I think we would both agree that that's wrong. Because that's just Otto getting in there trying to sleep with Mary Jane, looking like Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a matter of identity. And I think you fully embrace the idea that Otto now is Peter. And Otto is, because Otto literally is in Peter's body, has Peter's memory, and is trying to be Peter. It's a little bit like, it's a little more like Trills in Star Trek, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they are, the two memories are integrating to form a different person with the new host of the body trying to emulate the body and its wishes. I don't know if that's a way to put it.
So like how Curzon is Dax, Jadzia is also Dax, and Ezri is also Dax, even though at the same time, they're not the same person.
Exactly. So we had Amazing Peter, and now we have Superior Peter, but it is still Peter. And so I think that's what this comic comes down to, is what do you believe the identity of Peter Parker is here?
And I think that makes it an interesting comic is, you know, you kind of unconsciously pick a side. And like you said, I've embraced the fact that this is now Spider-Man.
And I still think it's an old man in there. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's another reason why I really like this comic, is because it's going down that road. We could talk for another hour. The way we talked about morality, we could talk about existentialism. We could talk about, how do you define identity? How do you define, if I take your mind out and put it in a computer and it's a complete copy, and then I kill your body and you exist in the computer and think the exact same way you think right now, do you exist, or because your body is dead and your brain is not really there, or are you just a computer program? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you can get into all that kind of existential crap in this comic, and I fucking love that. But we can't talk all night, so let's just get down and rate this one. Jen, how about you go first?
Oh, I'm gonna give this a 3. I thought it did bring up a lot of good questions and discussion points. For instance, you know, like, we talked a little about, like, what makes a hero, and is it like, whose method is better? You know, Otto is a superior enforcement agency made of one man, but does that make him a hero? And then also, like, just, it was really interesting, I think, seeing him tackle things that were clearly out of his emotional depth, like whether or not he should kill people, how to, you know, exist in a world where people clearly love him, because it seems like Otto used to be a very lonely person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people are giving him friendship and love, how do you react to that? So I think there's a lot of good room for excellent character development. On the other hand, from this trade, I'm not sure that I'm hooked. If someone, like, guaranteed me, oh, this series is amazing, I might go and read the rest of it. But I just felt like there were other flaws. Like, maybe this is more of just a personal issue with it, but I felt that the tone was really off. Like, it fluctuated too wildly between humorous and dark, and not dark, but serious. And it didn't do it elegantly enough for me to think that it was very, I guess, clever. I really enjoy clever in comics, and I did not feel like this was it. I mean, we obviously have not read every comic of 2013, so we cannot scientifically establish a best list. But judging from what we read last week, I don't think this is on the same level at all. So I would need to read more. Maybe the series as a whole, as it's been published so far, could make my best list of 2013. But I was feeling a little let down by this one.
Okay. David?
All right, so I'm going to give this... I'm going to give these three, or excuse me, these five issues a 3.5. Overall, I liked this comic, and I hadn't really read any issues of Superior Spider-Man, but, you know, in Avengers and, like, particularly Mighty Avengers, Superior Spider-Man is in it, and I found him to be an interesting character. So reading these five combined with that, I definitely want to continue to read read this series. Now, I mean, I talked about some of the problems I had with this comic, particularly Ghost Peter, and I found him to be, you know, kind of intrusive and unnecessary. But I can understand the perspective of why you would want him to be there, because he's a nod to where the comic came from. And, you know, it's maybe just cutting him out of the comic completely is not a good choice. So, you know, I could see where they're coming from. But like Jen said, this is not on the same level as what we read last week. The East of West is definitely something special, and I think that's why we all rated it so high. But, you know, that shouldn't take away from Superior Spider-Man. It is definitely a good comic, and to me, based on the other, like, big two Cape comics that I've read, this is definitely some of the better comics. So, you know, it's good. I want to continue reading it, but it's not the best comic I've ever read. But I think 3.5 is still a good score. So, if somebody came up to me and asked me, should I read Superior Spider-Man? I'd say, you know, give the first 5 issues a try. Read the first trade. So, 3.5.
Okay. I have had such a roller coaster on what to rate this. At first, I was like, I love the issues of identity, the issues of morality, and that it's not black and white morality. Like, it's not just down to the killing of massacre. Because when we talk about right and wrong utilitarianism in Batman, it's just, should Batman kill Joker? Yes, no. Like, this is more complex than that, even though it does come down to killing massacre. Even within that same scene of him killing massacre, it's like, I am ignoring the safety of these officers to make sure that I can make massacre submit. And that's a different kind of, like, there's all kinds of really cool philosophical stuff built into this that I would love to talk about for, like, days, and that made me want to give this a 5, and I was like, fuck yeah. Except then we're talking, and I'm like, but the side you're supposed to fall on is not really nuanced. You know what you're supposed to think is right, and you know what you're supposed to think is wrong. And very rarely are those issues actually presented to you as being gray. You get a couple moments where it looks gray, which is when Superior Spider-Man does triage and ignores the mugging. That's one of the very few instances where you get actual gray in this. And even then, it's not really gray in terms of right and wrong. So then I was like going back down. And then David, you just brought up East of West. And Jen, you brought up East of West. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe what the big difference here between East of West and Superior Spider-Man is that East of West is creator controlled, and the East of West has a lot more creative freedom. And I don't know how much Jedi Spirit Peter Parker is, like, elective. Dan Slott sitting there, you know what would be a great idea? Jedi Spirit Peter Parker. And how much of it is editorial maybe saying, we need a way to make sure Peter Parker can come back. We need a way to undo this in case it sucks. Right? I don't know where that line falls, but either way, I still want to give so much credit to this team for doing this insanely groundbreaking idea. Not just the idea of putting Otto in Peter's body, because, like, the body snatching abduction thing has been done before over and over and over, except then it's always for nefarious purposes, right? I think the groundbreaking thing is to put Otto literally in Peter's body, to completely assume his identity, and then make him try to be Peter. That's what I love. That's what's truly different, is making Otto try to be Peter. Because then you get all this crazy shit with the integration of the personalities and Otto being confronted with this memory and Otto memory raping and all this, blah, 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 all these things. Ah, so I'm going to give it a 4 and 4. Yeah, 4. I was going to say 4.5, but 4. Just
all right.
It could be better. Even if you got to put in Jedi Spirit, Peter doesn't have to be this annoying.
It's definitely not a bad comic by any stretch.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, I think it's really, really good, especially for a Cape comic. But next week we're moving on with our best of 2013 series. We're going to read Lose number 5, by Michael DeForge. I have no fucking clue what this comic is.
Neither do I.
dude, it's on everybody's best of 2013 with us, and I hope this is going to be this year's Underwater Welder. Because last year, none of us had any fucking clue what the hell Underwater Welder was, and it was fantastic. So I'm really hoping this is another one of those where I have no fucking clue what this is, and it turns out to be amazing. So it's a graphic novel, and it's called Lose Number 5. It's not like the fifth issue in a series. The book is called Lose Number 5. That's what we're going to read next week. If you want to know what we have coming up after that, go to our website, www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. We have the next, like, 4 or 5 episodes planned out. If you have a request of something you'd like us to read and talk about, maybe your favorite comic, if we haven't covered us yet, if we haven't covered it yet, let us know by shooting us an email at
atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
You can also let us know on social media. We've got facebook.com/APSupercast, twitter.com/APSupercast, and apsupercast.tumblr.com. And the Tumblr, like, when we started out, I was like, cool, I'm going to post fan art of whatever we're talking about this week. And now I'm like, I'm just going to reblog everything. I don't give a shit anymore. So I'm just fun places. They're just fun things. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.